Zeit auf Minus. And then by the time we finish the minutes, I'm sure then we might want to be able to take us to the presentation. Honorable members, so we have got three apologies from Honorable Merlin, Honorable Gandhi, and Honorable Gumede. I know Honorable Gumede is having a medical consultation in Gauteng today. And again, honorable members, that the delegation of Home Affairs, as will be introduced when we come to the presentation of court, that we are going to see the presentation led by the chair Mujahidin. Members, I think in your package, you may not be having an agenda. You may not be having an agenda for today because the second party's computer, I'm sure, it went fast or something. But what you do need to say is you've got a series of briefing on the team special. And other than that, the two sets of minutes. Then I would actually request us then to go to the minutes, honorable members. The first set of minutes is the minutes of the 25th of October, where we're dealing with the BRR report. Honorable members, can we look at page one of that set of minutes? Page 5 of October, when we're at M201, second floor, Mass Building. You remember that is where we got kicked out from the computer room. Is there anything on the page one of honorable agenda? Okay. These are Tuesday today, it's not a Monday. On page two, honorable members of the same set, there is the second paragraph, there is 99.9 rand. I think we just need to describe it a little bit more. How should it read on the honorable matters? The 99.9 rand. What is that? Is it million, billion, or is that the rand? 99.9 billion. Can you just take it in the 9.9 million rands? Is there anything to be dealt with on that? If nothing, anybody to move adoption of this set of things? Okay, what are we need? Rest the thing.
Then
you
check a move for the adoption of the
list
of
the request. Thank you very much. Anyone who seconds? Thank you very much. Okay. And then we go to the minutes of the 23rd. This was when we were at E540, where we adopted the DRR report. On page one, anything to raise on page one? Khan, page 2. Thank you. And we are expecting as well all this time tomorrow, the ministers will have advice. And we will inform whether all of them are here. Honorable members, as we have indicated, that we expect them to presentation in relation to the large special session permit. And I hope that all of us will put copies of the presentation and we have received it in time. Already have internalized the content. And therefore, I did decide.
Honourable members of the House, we'd like to tender our humblest apologies for being late this morning. It was an unfortunate circumstance that we delayed an hour on the ground in Johannesburg, and just beyond our control. So we do apologise for that. And we can just confirm that the delegation that you indicated, we are present, and we'll be conducting the presentation on this topic, special visitation bonus. Chairperson, thank you for this opportunity for us to present to you around an initiative that the department has taken to address a very pressing problem that we have been faced with over the last couple of years. And that relates back to the legalization of the status of Zimbabwean nationals and how we approach that as a department in terms of ensuring the correct degree of facilitation. The presentation that we're going to give to you will be delivered to you by Chief Director of Limiting, Mr. Jack Nelly. As his title suggests, he deals with the permitting and the issue of visa and the regulation of stay within our country. And therefore, we have stated within that as of our responsibility within our branch. In the presentation that you have received, you will see that we are referring to a particular approach that we are taking around the management of a special dispensation permit for Zimbabwean nationals. IDG has advised yesterday at the EXCO meeting that I should please inform this House that we are not restarting up a new process. It is a continuation and an effort by the department to ensure that we can put closure to a process that we have been faced with over the last couple of years. The details of how we intend to manage this over a fixed time duration will be addressed by Mr. Manetti. There's one change in the presentation that you have, Chairperson. We don't want to change it, we want to add to it. That is page 18 at the end of the presentation. We speak of specific volumes, and the volumes that we provide you with is dated back to the 22nd of October, the time that we made the submission to this House. We have updated those volumes, and this is indicative of the extent of progress that's been made within the project between the 22nd of October until today. So those are very relevant numbers that Mr. Manetti will speak to. But again, in our expo yesterday, we agreed that we were going to bring this change to this House. And just to point out to the honourable members what is being done and what are the type of volumes that we are processing at the moment. So I just want to add that before we get into the presentation so that you are aware that there is additional information that we are introducing, but it is highly relevant to the presentation that the lady is going to deliver. With that, Chairperson, I'm going to hand across to my good colleague, the Chief Director of Permitting, Mr. Jeff Manetti. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Morning, honourable members. We also add our apologies to the indicators. I go straight to the presentation. The presentation covers the recap of the 2010 data so that members can be taken through the background of the process that closed in 2014 this year. And then I will also provide the background of the ZSP, why did we do ZSP, and what are the issues that the Minister of Home Affairs, Honorable Kigaba, addressed with regard to the new dispensation for Zimbabwe. hours. And then I will take the members through the high level process overview so that the house can really understand the approach that we have taken to deal with the SP applications. That will include the process itself, that will also include where the applicants can go, and also we'll give an online application progress thus far, which is what Mr. Paul was talking about with regard to the data that is available. I think it will be important to also indicate that in this case, this was what we got, the breakdown of applications. We had about 2% of the people who applied for amnesty. Remember, in 2010, the head minister of Foreign Affairs gave Zimbabweans in South Africa who got our documents through illegal or fraudulent means an amnesty so that they can come forward and they can be able to give back our documents. And then, also, there were people who claimed asylum from Zimbabwe, who in every week I claim asylum, but because of the economic crisis in Zimbabwe since 2008, they were pushed into the south and they claimed asylum. But in actual fact, they were just economic migrants, not genuine asylum seekers. And at that time, the specific allowed for them to also surrender the asylum claim voluntarily, because in actual fact, they were not necessarily asylum seekers. And then people who really applied for the visa fees was about 81% of the total figure of 100%. The other reason was to provide the last share is the result of the visa fee at that time, which included that 242,731 Zimbabweans were given the permit or the visa fee. 51,718, these are the people that we could not process because some of them did not have passports, some of them did not have supporting documents. So the conditions, even if they were met at that time, they could not be able to meet those conditions. And as a result, we couldn't proceed with them. So that's why we said we closed the application. In total, therefore, as I said, we had about 294,511 Zimbabweans who applied for the TSP. The figure of 242,731 is the figure that we are dealing with now, but we'll also explain the figure that is 51,780, how we are going to deal with that figure as we move in the presentation. The slides before us talk about the what I referred to as the asylum claims. We are about people who came forward to say they forgo their asylum application. There were about 49,255. Those at that time who had already been in possession of Section 22 or Section 24 of the Refugee Act, these are the people who have about 5,900. So they had to come back to us and say, no, we no longer want to pursue the claim because the government of South Africa has given us a dispensation that we can enjoy. Because in different fact, we are not refugees and we are not asylum seekers. In that process, we are able to do an update our NIS system. Our NIS system is a system that we register asylum seekers on. We are able to close and update it so that we can remove them from the asylum regime. Remember, I want to remember that part of the challenge we are having in terms of migration management in South Africa is that many people come here as economic migrants. And as a result, they block our asylum system. Part of the dispensation in 2010 was to make sure that we can relieve the asylum regime. This number of people who can claim asylum in South Africa. So this was important for us so that they'll be able to assist colleagues who are dealing with asylum and refugees so that they can be removed from the system that we can entertain general applications. The amnesty process, also, we were able to document the Zimbabweans who had different South African documents like passports, that is indicated as 5,186, those who had identity documents at 3,600, and those with death certificate at 3,119. Those who also came with ID copies, although they've got them for the was about 3,378. And those that are also able to defend the certificate of 69 and the rest of the numbers. But this indicates that the declaration of Zimbabwe is to be to save South Africa, read the letter where they were attempting to take our documents and to use them to legalize the state of South Africa. So that is why the amnesty was there to make sure that they can be able to hand over our documents and we can give them the dispensation. The process also did not condone criminality. We were able through our inspectorate, the chief directorate, to document working with the police, to document those people that proceeded to criminal records. And we need to state clearly that we did not, the dispensation did not encourage us to give Zimbabweans positive criminal record attendance. So we are able to document them using the help of the South African Police Service. And these are the different acts that were committed. Some of them were people were on trial, some of them really about theft, robbery, and all of those. So this is what we really documented and with the police to clear the system. Coming to ZSP and Chairperson, the Minister of Home Affairs on August 12th this year, Minister Kigaba, announced a new dispensation permit for Zimbabwe. What really meant is that the old dispensation for Zimbabwe project, which was normally called TZD, will actually close on 7 December 2014. Remember that the dispensation at the time was 4 years. It doesn't even detail. So it means that it will come to an end in 2014. There's a technology challenge, but I'll stick with the
it is important for the departments to bring to the committee the approach that we have taken. The minister officially closed the DZP to expire on the 31st of December 2014. That was a logical move because the permit was only valid for 4 years. The expiry date then of all DZP permits will be the 31st of December 2014. Now there are those people whose permit will expire before that, there are those whose permit will expire after that. So the minister made a determination that all of them must expire the same date, which will be the 31st of December 2014. The other determination that the minister Kigaba made was that either the workers who wish to remain in South Africa can reapply for ZSP. And we are not concluding that all of them will apply. It might be that others have been moved to the mainstream visa permit, others have their home, also natural attrition processes, but we give them the dispensation that those who want still to enjoy the relaxed framework they can continue to stay in the country. The requirement that the minister also made was that we require a valid Zimbabwean passport. If you fall under the one category, you will have to prove employment. Means that your employer must be able to indicate to us that you are still employed as a Zimbabwean. If you fall under the business category, you must just provide proof of business registration. And if you are still studying, you must just provide a proof of registration from the learning institution. These are just bare minimum requirements. The other requirements will include police clearance, police fingerprints, meaning that we should actually give the Zimbabweans with criminal records our parents. The validity period of the new ZSP chairperson will be from the 1st January 2015 until the 31st December 2017. Now, what the government has done to cabinet is that it gives this dispensation at least 3 years.
and after 3 years it will come to an end. And as Richard was indicating yesterday, the DG questioned us that this will be the true date or the validity period will be the 31st of December 2017. It was going to be an open process. There's a validity period for it. We also made this determination that the Zimbabwe National Council will express that the payments will not be detained as gamble or they will not be assessed after the 31st December 2014. Here, the requirement is realistic to the fact that by the 31st of December, we will not have issued every Zimbabwe in the NSP. Meaning that we have to create now an environment for this, for the Zimbabweans to be able to stay in the country without paying deposits, without being declared as gamble. The last determination is here because of the administrative barely to be presented for us to deliver the EZP. This time around, the new approach that we have taken is that we are using our service provider, which is VFS, to administer the application process. And we are also disclosing here an engine fee of the application in 2070, which is payable upon application at VFS. And I will now go into the difficulties of the process. This slide indicates the process from DFS and it goes also to the Department of Home Affairs. What also indicating is that for criminal record checks, the Zimbabweans who have left the attention of them going to police stations. They are not going to police stations. We have also used the surrounding police service to assist us with the criminal record check. The surrounding police service is using ActiSwitch, which is the service provider on their side, to make sure that they check on criminal record. So the burden then of Zimbabweans is lessened because they have asked for them to go to every police station and apply for police clearance. But in this dispensation, the service provider has been identified. So what does Zimbabweans only do? They go into VFS, they hand in the application form, they also take biometrics, that is the 10 fingerprints and a photo, and that is stored and is taken back to a district. And then we should check through the police and criminal record system, and we are able to get the results with regard to the criminal record. But also, this diagram indicates that the department is much more holistic. There is also a check through our HANI, that is our Home Affairs National Identity System. We want to give it a check if there are Zimbabweans who are found in that system, and we can clear that system to make sure that the integrity of the National Population Register is guaranteed. The other element of the process is that we're also including here our inspectorate, so that if there are Zimbabweans who come with positive fingerprint record report, the inspectorate can be able to check through their case management system, they can be able to trace and report those that are really with the positive fingerprints because we cannot give them a permit. The other link is that we also, as I've already indicated, we also link this with the NIS, which is the asylum system, to make sure that Zimbabweans who have qualified for the ZSP will also clean the NIS system and make sure that the system is not overburdened by people from Zimbabwe. So we make sure that there's no double dipping. If you are under ZSP, you cannot be under asylum. So in this process, we also invest in them to forego willingly they are claiming for asylum. Just to go through the key lines of the service, the ZSP program caters for 294511, as I indicated. These are the people that applied. And I need to add this Chairperson, to indicate that the people that were rejected or that we closed, that is 51,000, they still benefit for the ZSP. Because it might be that the situation has changed after we close the ZSP. If they are in the system and they applied and they are able to prove that they applied, they can enjoy the ZSP. The VFS has provided a website for applicants to complete their online application from the 1st of October to the 1st of December. Now the website Chairperson is the intention is to make sure that they are able to apply in the comfort of their home or offices and they are able to lodge in applications. VFS has established and managed 10 facilitation centers in 9 provinces. Here the Western Cape is about 2 centers, the one in Cape Town and the other one in George, to make sure that we assist applicants to submit the application and the biometrics. The walk-ins into our centers started on the 1st of November, that is past Saturday, and it will go until the 31st of April 2015. The people, the Zimbabweans will have to pay a fee in a form of cash deposit at that bank for a credit or a debit at some time. There's also a host of dedicated websites where people can log in and access the application process. There's also a contact center that has started on the 1st of October. That the number we're giving is the number that is used for Zimbabweans to make appointments. We've also requested VFS to move beyond the 4 o'clock. So they are starting from 8 o'clock and they are closing the offices from 5 p.m. from Monday to Saturday. Even on Saturdays, to cater for those who might be working on, not working on Saturday, then they can go to come. We also have a dedicated email ID that can be used if there are queries from Zimbabwe. This is the process that people go into the website and they complete the application form. They set up appointment through the call center, and then from there, from the 1st of November, as I indicated, we're now going to our offices or VFS offices to make application. And then once the process is done, the document and the application for the property is online or electronically sent to Home Affairs. This is the website just as I said that we share with the community that really assists the applicants to be able to go through the system. This is the application where we are hitting with this one, because other Zimbabweans who just came to South Africa want to benefit from this process. And this process only closed for those who benefited from 2010. This is just a verification process so that we move into the next level. It is just to save us from having people who apply who do not qualify from the process. If we don't do that, they will clog the system and will never be able to complete the general ones who need to apply. The actual form that is indicated there, which is just a simple one-page form for everybody to complete without having many administrative errors. What the people will bring at the application center is that it will be a completed online form, not just generated forms, because that will delay the process. We request applicants to get original documents for verification once it is certified copies. We request original passports, copies of passport or previous visas. If you have checked your passport, give us the new passport if it expired. And also give us the previous payment we gave you, that's a copy of it, and then a proof of payment, and then the appointment and acknowledgement. Because just to call, you'll get an appointment. I've already talked about that, like I said, with regard to the requirement that we skip it to the time. Chairperson, these are the centers where Zimbabweans have started to go to from Saturday, the 1st of November. The one that we say is new, it means that these are the dedicated new centers. If you look into the province, you find that Durban, it has many applicants. That is why we've got a new center over and above the main visas and permits we have. Also, in Cape Town, it's a new center. It's not mixed with our center that we use for visas and permits. And then also in Pretoria, no, Johannesburg in Midrand is a new center, P center, because Gauteng province has many applications in 2010. And then there's also the Koluman one, because in Limpopo there's also a high number of Zimbabweans. Then the rest of the locations are shared between the main visas and permits and the rest. Chairperson, in conclusion, we want to share with you the progress we have made thus far with regard to online applications. We know and we are mindful of the fact that there were people in the media complaining that the VFS system is not working for them, there's congestion, and they are not coming through. But the statistics here, Chairperson, prove contrary. From the 1st of October, when the online application opened, until the 15th of October, we had about 79,000 Zimbabweans who went through the system, which really indicates a high number of Zimbabweans who are able to go into the system to be able to apply. And you can see even for the daily applications that the numbers were going up on a daily basis. We also want to share with the community the people who called to make appointments. By the only for 15 days, we had about 25,026. These are the people who came in to make appointments. So we are confident as a department that we'll be able to manage this process. And as Richard was indicating, this information we provided at the time of writing the report so that we can be able to give you copies before this meeting. But you have no figures now as of at the 30th of October, which gives us a total of a month from the 1st of October until the 3rd of October. The total number of Zimbabweans who filled the application forms is about 129,164, which is about close to 130,000. We are really confident that by the end of November, all Zimbabweans will have come forward and we have applied and will be able now to deal with the application. The appointment that has been taken through is about 91,401. May I repeat the number, Chairperson? Online forms filled is about 129,164. And the appointment that has been taken is 91,401, which really gives us a confidence level that we'll be able to deliver on this project, unlike in 2010 when we were using a manual system and we took about 3 years and we spent a lot of money at that time, but this time the state is not using any budget to do this project because we are partnering with VFS. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Flores, for having anything to say for the presentation.
Chairperson, I don't want to add to what Mr. Medet said. I think he's given you a very comprehensive overview. I think it's just in the latter part in terms of the numbers, that's not the only contribution I would like to make to the presentation, otherwise we'll get questions. My contribution would be, is you've got to look at the numbers in terms of understanding the uptake that we have had over the course of October. The range is from about 4,300 odd through to about 5,500 applications a day, which is coming through parts of the system. Therefore, the department is confident that we will reach our targets that we have set in terms of processing 242 by the time we get to the end of November. UFS is also taking traction in terms of their role that they're going to play. And if you look, by the middle of the month, they had 25,000 appointments, which they had confirmed. And in the last 2 weeks, they escalated that through to 66,375, taking that to the 91,000, which means that they are processing somewhere in the region of about 7,000 applications per day as they're picking up speed. So that's a little bit latency as the applications came in, but then our office will look through the numbers and get it out of business. I think we will leave it at that, Chairperson, and we'll open up through yourself to take questions on the presentation. Thank you.
Okay, so thanks for the briefing that we have received. And can I just check with you before I actually go to the members? The statement that says after the expiry date on the 31st, those that will move around with expired permits, you won't declare them undesirable, you won't arrest them. As far as you're concerned on analysis, are you not opening up for not taking up this petition? And until when are you going to allow them to travel around without upgrading them? Because surely it makes sense to you to allow them because of your internal capacity problems. But then there must be a date that you cannot allow you to have a date. And that will actually force the department as well to deal with its own capacity problems. Otherwise, there's no need to actually declare them. that different from them, and if you could just get some sort of an explanation, what are the implications, unforeseen consequences that we can arise from this kind of a decision in relation to the decision that we have taken in terms of the defense of December. And the other thing is that the 51,708 that you said you could not process because there were not any requisite documents on the previous presentation. What happened to them? When you failed to do that, did you deport them? Or are they around but not documented? And what actually happened to them? And then the new dispensation, does it allow any new Zimbabweans to enter, or is it closed up for those that participated in the previous dispensation, and even those that you refuse to actually give them the benefit? Or is it open that if somebody in Zimbabwe now would like to come here and enter the particular cross border? Can you tell them that those few clarifications so that you can get them about to change your own?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, on the first question with regards to the statement that we indicate that we're not going to scare them as they are going to be arrested, there's a provision we have made, Chairperson, is that by the 31st of December, we are confident that we have taken everybody in the system of SSP. But also aware that by the 31st of December, not all applicants will be processed. But normally what we do is that we will need a proof that you applied. The inspectorate on the ground, if they make sweeps, they make an arrest of illegal foreigners. If a foreigner is able to demonstrate that he applied, then that person will not be arrested. But it is clear that we are going to do that everybody. So inspectorate will have the database of everybody who applied. And those are the people that are protected, not to face deportation and arrest. The other provision is that we also have a database of the DZP, those who applied in 2010. So inspectorate on the ground, they can be able to cross reference for people who must enjoy the dispensation. But for those who just crossed the first to South Africa, this dispensation is not open for them. It is closed for only those who took place in 2010 and trusted the South African government that can provide them protection, and then they can be able to continue to stay in South Africa and pursue their life. Another question is on the 51,780. This was really a question that we asked ourselves, because in 2010, the system, the way it was run, it was that we requested Zimbabweans to come at first to meet the deadline of the 31st December 2010, so that they can end in their applications. At a later stage, then we said you can be able to place supporting documents after you have made the application. That really was a mess, because it does not give the incentives for the Zimbabweans to come forward, because they can enjoy the state of South Africa, and if you treat our agenda of allowing them to stay in the country. So this 51,000 is the one that we lost in the system, because they couldn't come to us to finish the application. But the later made a determination that it would be unfair for us to exclude them from the ZSP. If they are still interested, they can still enjoy the ZSP, but they still have to meet the minimum requirements that we've made. We will also test a person whether the number of those that we approve under the ZSP will include these 51,000. So it's something that we want to study and see whether we'll be able to get those 51,000. But Chairperson, be rest assured that you also have a database of these 51,000. So even if a person comes and says, I was not given, but I applied, we can be able to verify through the system of DZP and check whether you really applied. So
But after the end of this dispensation, then the minister will make a determination in terms of those that did not come forward to join the ministry. We don't know where they are now. We hope that the registry process will assess them and will be able to come forward, and then we'll be able to process them. If they are not coming forward, then it will take a minister decision, because even when we close the registry, they did a fee. This 51,000, it was also a question that was raised. Where are they? Why are they not coming forward? And what do we do with them? So, I think, Chairperson, I might not have the whole answer, but I hope that through the process, they can be able to come forward and we can process them.
The closed process, yes, Chairperson,
as I indicated, this process is closed only to those who are 1920.
Okay, thank honorable members. There we are, Honorable Hussein, and then Honorable Kaini. I'm just going to go in the line. You can start Honorable Hussein, then followed by Honorable Nisi, Honorable Rafisi, Honorable Kaini, Honorable Nisi. In the order.
Thank you very much. Can I just start with the slide? My vision is, yes, I don't know what your way is, but that's the flow chart of the application process. Now, it's clear from that flow chart is that the applications come via the VFA, who they don't deal with the actual approval of the that approval process is done by the department. And they vary the steps on that flowchart of the department that they use for that application. So it's not true then if you make the statement that there is no cost to the department or to the state. There must be a cost. To the people who are dealing with that process. I'd be interested to hear your comments on that. Mr. Chair, if you work out of that 194,000 who are going to apply for this service, the cost is only 70 each. VFS will generate about 255 million in the whole process. Which brings me to the question that I want to ask you is this. These numbers were issued in 2010 for a specific purpose at the time when there was political and economic instability in Zimbabwe for a period of 4 years. And then the minister made a determination to say, well, we're not canceling that permit the end of December 2014. And the purpose of that, we've documented 204,000 people already, well, 240,000 on the way they are. But we've documented it. So, surely the minister could have simply just extended that service for another 2 years until 2017. And the question I ask is, what was the real purpose of doing this entire exercise? You might not be able to answer the question, but I'll ask it anyway. Was it designed to generate revenue for VFS, the first 246 million? If you don't want to answer this, I would understand your point. Because this thing is one big issue for me. I mean, we could have documented people in the very beginning, internally. You answered it just some time to do it, and I guess that VFS is being much faster, but I probably would have done it half that speed of 246 million. Okay, they reflect to the number of glitches that the system has had and the people who have complained about being able to access this thing. But that still continues up until today. There are, on occasions, problems with the online application process that people can't access it because they error messages or they get kicked out of the system halfway through. Is that something that's being addressed? Is it a common problem that you find? You referred to that 51,000 people, and I wonder, how many of the 51,000 people have attempted to try to get onto the system and have got kicked out, and then don't follow the thing I'll be mentioning. There's a number of incidents that I came across here where people actually had a valid receipt from 2010, but for the original DZP. But yet the definition to apply to the new one, to change the name instead from DZP to ZZP, cost of $255 million. People who have applied in 2010, they got the receipts. And yet when they now apply for the new permits, they are unable to access because their names don't appear on the system. So the question I have is that could there possibly be more than 246,000 people that we don't know?
Chair, you referred to the total number of people who have applied thus far, the least figure, which is quite encouraging. And then the number of people that we have interviews. We haven't told us how many permits we've already been able to process and issue. So the follow-up question would be, how long will it take for you to make sure that that 294,000 people who have taken those 2,000 hours? How long will it take? When do you envisage this thing to come to an end where every single one of those 140,000 people will receive their permits? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable DC.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you for the question. You can see that a lot of effort has been put in this project. And we really have to share on the community question. I would like to know from the team, what can happen to those applicants with lost or stolen passport? Will they be able to apply to extend the treatment? And my second question is, Chair, I want to know why was it decided to only extend the residency to current why them and not Malawian or Arabian? And I think with this, the introduction of this system, I think it came at the opportune time, and when you try to attack, you'll be able to show us the positive part of this thing. But thank you very much.
Honorable Kay.
Thank you, Chairperson.
questions have been asked. Thank you for that. But my review on page 9, when we on page 9, bullet 2 and 6, that helps to get at the first place. Let me also say the same thing to you, but also on the issue of other nations. You can choose how at the end you can help and you can plus them so that you understand the type of the reasons. Because some of them are choices, some of them are non-choices, no, we talk about this, I don't know what this is. So really, even ourselves who are not acquainted to these observations. Thank you. Talking to this, page 9, also on the dealer piece, we started in 2010 to bring it into the research so. Then now the research piece we started from 2015 January to 2017. My question is that what basically the expiry time not to be used in this new presentation from 4 years to 2 years? My second question is on also on the page 9, that helps to be this is what the national policy on these 5 activities, so it will not be taken undesirable. I don't see a system question that is not much at the same time. Mine was to ask, is that to ask at this point, will it expire, undesirable. Sadly, on page, I think it goes on page 11, bullet 1, why are the executives being reconsidered for the executives? I think that is the bullet 1 or 2 there. Maybe I talked to the reception, I was talking about on the why are the executives being reconsidered for the executives? And lastly,
forward to the 1st December 2014. Every business effective affect the same thing, but pain can affect us. That is, you can survive. Because it's not something, I'm not sure what I'm talking about. Okay. And for you, the first thing of the fact is that I'm suffering on a bad disease, and it will not be said that I'm suffering. The other thing is that I don't even think that I'm careful yet. But the point is what I'm saying here, when we just need of people moving up and down without any. I'm saying in town where I stay, but I'm not a different house every day. I know many people that are friends with me who do not have parents. Down in Glendale, I'm interested to know when I'm going to take all of the people that are not here for business purposes, that are not here for study, that are here for something else. For the certain culture of solving many problems of people who are being shorthand by people who don't know. It's because most of the time it is, for example, that are being paid to kill other people in the time. When are we going to take them back to their refugee camps if they are in or to whatever land? That's where it's supposed to be, because it's supposed to be there in the border. It's barely anticipated the chances of planning to do that. But if we want to take our country, that's what we have to do there. And so that we know exactly who's, because it's what you say, they don't know where they are, some of these people. But I'm telling you, they are there of them in Grenland, I know them. Many of them, they don't have families. They are there busy doing their own jobs. They are not there because most of them, they are very good in as accidents. So most of them, they are busy doing jobs there. I mean, if you want to wear your age, we hire them. If you want to do your yard properly, we hire them. If you want to build a home outside for a son or whatever, we ask them, they are busy. They don't have them. They are not there. Everybody can get out from this budget. Not only the budget. There are plenty. There are Pakistanis here. There are Somalians. All of them are here without them. When is the department going to try and attempt to ram the thing and take them there so that we can make sure that our country can get safe? One last issue, Chapter 3. As you know, that we've got to be making more than right now, which is very difficult to control. Now, if South Africa, the department, is unable to control how many people getting into the camp, how are we going to control if that people can come into South Africa? People can come with them. How are we going to control that? Because if they get to some kind of thing, those who are here, attack the bank and they can take a tent, they fall with that idea. How are we going to control that situation? Persons now are saying, we don't know where there is a budget. When some come to the business and we are unable to know where they are, how are we going to control the business? That might come with them. That's what my question is, that the department is having an attempt for the plan of changing the security around them up. All of those who are not here for any of this advice, what we don't see having their hand in there.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mkom.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and I think my report came as why I was a bit late. Chairperson, I just need to request a few explanations. May I thank the department for the information which they have given us. The first issue is that I think, Chairperson, we will not be doing justice to the department's report if we were not also to challenge ourselves as a committee and look at some of the trade agreements, some of the agreements which we as government have signed up with not only the Zimbabweans but the other countries, but just today because we're addressing the member of Zimbabwe, to actually look into that, because I think most of the questions which we are bringing up, we may need to go as far as that in order to correct some of these issues. because some of them, I think the department, like the issue of via these permits, which have expired, these EZT permits, they will not declare undesirable. Exactly where does that terminate from? Where does it start from? Is it a department decision? Is it a government decision? Who actually makes those type of decisions? Because it's important for us to know exactly where we set our corrections. And the chairperson was quite correct to raise that issue about these people who are not known where they are, and they will not be declared undesirable. You know, we need to find out what is the basis for us to actually take that on. May I also put that I'm on page 9, on the very last point. This service provider, I'm aware that my colleague from the DA asked about it, but I would like to know, is there a memorandum of understanding with this service provider that has actually put the service provider as a decision where no cost to the department will be paid? Or are we having here a situation of a memorandum of understanding where they first collect and then we pay, or probably is it a direct rate within the department? That's why we're saying no costs are actually going to be incurred. It doesn't make sense. How can we just work and you don't get paid? That's why we need to also get to the bottom of it. Lastly, on page 10, I don't see here this process overview, which is so beautiful from the department. But I would like to ask a very simple question. Where can things go wrong here? Where likely could things go wrong in this type of a situation? Where can we anticipate probable challenges? It is so beautiful. I don't dispute it. We can see what is happening. But where do we need to be on the lookout for possibly fraudulent behavior and corruption and all that? Because with the best of methods that we have had in our country, we've always had one or two legal fraudulent cases. So we just need to be on the lookout for it. That is why I'm asking. Otherwise, the other methods and the time frame are quite flawless, like on page 11, because it's important for us to get those time frames to know when the department will be delivering a particular area. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Let me just try and say a few on the. I think you need to listen carefully. The question that relates to a view that seeks to say that this registration to BFS, whether to BSS to make money, I think you can avoid that question. And all other questions, I think that they are lawful and that you need to answer them. Just in the point of your responses, is there any continuing roadshows to popularize or publicize this petition to ensure that you capture all the persons that want them to come and make the application? I'm not sure whether I was sleeping when you were responding to my initial questions. Until when will you close and say anybody traveling beyond the stage with an expired permit will be locked up or will be declared undesirable? Have you set that stage? If not, do you think it is advisable to have that stage? So that the department can work towards something. Because as I've indicated before, it will undermine the whole system. And then on page, I think it's page 8. Page 8, you say positive signal record 6,211. Then you've got a waiting trial somewhere around 2,200 feet. Then you have got a balance of something around
also wear our sisters of what you refuse to give them their family? Have they been deported? Are they lying around somewhere within the boundaries of South Africa? And are they in jail, some of them, locked up? Or what's the story? Because some of these violations or lines that they've crossed underneath here, I don't think some of them will make them to go into jail. You know, it's some of them, of course, will exceed them to jail. But is there any possibility that from staffs then or correctional things, sometimes they can get the correct reflection whether there are some that have been locked out in the jail? Yeah, of course, this particular page 8, I'm not sure why you have linked this point, why you have made it a material crowd. Do you have any reason? Because these are just ones of numbers of specific things. And you don't need to read anything between two points. And then the other thing is, you have indicated that there are people that have come up with copies of IDs, only copies of our ID documents, to an extent of 3,038 on page 7. You expect them to surrender or to bring ID documents. Then they don't bring the ID documents, they bring a copy of the ID. What has happened to that? The person is in front of Home Affairs with a copy of the ID. He now wants to join the project. Have we tried to get the original ID that he has got the copy? Have we gone to the system and canceled that ID document? Because obviously there is an indication that it is a wrongful ID. He needs to be sent to the dustbin. What have we done in response to this particular indication of a document that landed in the wrong hands? That is in the same as the birth certificate copies, the passport copies. Have we actually responded to that and make sure that this particular document, wherever they are, the originals, that they are no longer being used there forward? And what were the responses of these 3,378 when you asked for the original documents? What were their responses? I think that's all from me, and then you can take us on. Thank you very much. Well, while you are still organizing your thoughts, Honorable Nancy, I think the explanation that the department has given is that they have made a determination of the 31st of December 2014, that is the cut-off date, all the things have expired. So those that expired before that date and those that expired after that, all of them are crossed that date. They expire on that date of the 31st. So the two great points, they actually begin to try to communicate that message. Yes, they just say those that are expired before that date, then they will now expire on the 31st. In other words, the permits that will expire, say, on the 10th of December 2014 will expire on the 31st of December 2014. The one that expires in January 2015 then will expire on the 31st December 2014. And that's why I'm raising the question that now they bring to that particular date. But then the next bullet, they say they are not going to arrest anybody who will be working with this after 31st December 2014. Then the reason that they are now by explaining to us is that they don't think that even in January 2015 that we have been able to issue the new permits, hence then they can't lock them up. But then now the question that I've asked is, until when? Is it an open-ended thing that we may find ourselves even December next year and these people still working with expired permits? And it is not advisable to have a cut-off date, whether we say April, end of April, we're not going to allow anybody to work with us. And then if
is a question of not being able to give them the help that the department must have had to ensure that all permits have been issued and to work towards the particular needs. Not actually allow the inefficiency in the department to actually make it an end. I think you are ready to take us.
Person and honorable members, thank you very much for taking note of the questions. Our approach towards it is just a quick conferry over it. Mr. Nady is going to deal with some of the technical issues on each of the questions. And I'll support him or just make a few comments and statements on this. But we can start with that process. Mr. Nady will start with some of the questions.
Thank you, Chair President. Thank you, honorable members, for the questions. The reason we say there's no cost to the department is that we did not hire any new staff in the department to process the NSP. We are using our baseline, so that statement is made in the context of us not hiring new people like we did in 2010 with the DZP. With the DZP, we had to hire contracts, staff on contracts, to be able to assist us to deal with the process. So we are just indicating that even with regards to us enlisting the services of VFS, we are not paying VFS any money. VFS recoup its money from the applicant, which is a handling fee of about 870. So that is the context of us to say across the department. We are not being a service provider. We are not hiring new people, we are using our baseline. There are people within my unit that are going to assist us in the identification of the ZSP. That is the context. I'll skip you that one chapter that you guided us on the real intention. What I would say, yes, there's still problems. In a process such as this, you cannot have some sailing. You are dealing with people. You are also dealing with IT, and the IT processes, there are issues. But the will is there to make sure that you acknowledge the process, the problems that are there. Our measure of success, or our measure of checking whether the problems persist, is to check whether our intended objectives are not met. Through the statistics we have given to this house, it indicates that there's success with regards to taking in applications. Because that is the most important thing, the taking of applications. The statistics now that indicate 129,000 out of the population of close to 2.4, it really indicates the measure of success that the process is yielding. The people that are 51,000 plus, whether they are struggling or not, we are mindful of that fact. The central VF that if a person comes and says, I've got a receipt that I applied in 2010, but I did not receive the permit, those are the people that VF has a special arrangement through the call center and the email. Even through other apps, there are calls where someone says, I applied in 2010, I did not receive the permit, but I have proof that I applied. That is why it was not really good for us to have arbitrarily said the people who were rejected in 2010 should not benefit from the ZSP, because it might not be their mistake at the time. It might have been the inefficiency of the process that we are running in 2010. So to disadvantage them would be a problem. That is why we are opening up for them to be able to enjoy. But not everybody. We are just saying, if you have proof that you applied in 2010, it means the intention was there for you to benefit out of the GZP. And if you see people continue to benefit, will Omunama Trust for you, will open up for you. So dear friends, is a system where we are able to request a copy of the GZP if you did get it but are not in the system. There's a system where you are able to give us the receipt and you also to give us the reference number that generated in 2010. So we are mindful of those problems and I don't want to receive the committee and say everything is possible. There are challenges that we are dealing with. Another major project such as this of authorization. So yes, I'm turning to the fourth question of the valid receipts. I can go to now to question number five. In terms of how many eligible receipts, we haven't started, I'm not saying. We start to adjudicate from the 10th of November. We give ourselves a period from the 1st of November for the online applications and the supporting documents to come through the process. And by the 10th of November, we'll be starting out to do actual application because the documents and everything will be at Home Affairs Environment and then we can be able to adjudicate. How long will it take for us to issue the permits? We don't anticipate longer periods because the process is simplified. The supporting documents and the requirements are easy. So, and more so that this is a population that we already know, so we can be able to deal with them at a faster rate than when we do the ministry visas and permits. But we will keep the House informed if we are granted again the process is running to come and give feedback with regard to the actual adjudication and the process that will be applying upon. Honorable Nisi, thank you for appreciating our effort as a department. I think the Minister of Home Affairs, Minister Kigaba, really encouraged us to deal with this process as soon as possible so that it can be finality. So yes, we are working on a time frame that I will explain at a later stage. Why only the current applicants, not everybody? I think that one, we can just say the country cannot really afford to open up to every Zimbabwean who comes here to stay or to seek work or to do anything. We can only deal with a particular number because in 2010 when we opened for everybody who was here illegally. But as we move forward, it cannot be open for everybody. Mindful of the fact that it's not always that Zimbabweans who are here as a result of illegal migration. The question I want to deal with this perspective later in the state was honourable members asked if I want to deal with it perspectively. When people come around this with regard to the loss of stolen passports, obviously they'll have to go to the Zimbabwean embassy to apply for their passports. Like every foreigner in South Africa, within South Africa, if your passport is lost or stolen, go to the embassy to apply for it. Fortunately for us, in 2010, we were very vigorous working with the Zimbabwean High Commission to get all that every Zimbabwean apply must have a valid passport. And we're clear that we have not issued passport to Zimbabweans who do not have valid passports. So we anticipate that if something happens, the health commissioner is there, you can be able to get them a passport. The last question on this one, the how is notification for card collection? Yes, there's an SMS system that they are going to use to alert the applicant that the outcome is out. But also, if you go into the system, the website of your friends, you put in your passport number, you'll be able to get the status of your application. I think you are right to say we need to explain to South Africans the process, the cause. And in a nutshell, what South Africa is doing now is in migration language regularization. Like all countries, if they've got a problem with illegal migration that we have, what normally countries do, they embark on regularization process. The intention really for the benefit for us as a country is that we are attempting to know who is here because it's about registration. Remember in the past before 2010, 2008, researchers and academics, they were punching numbers and saying 3 million Zimbabweans are in South Africa. But that really was just a speculation with regard to the numbers because in any country, you cannot know the number of illegal migrants in your country because they are documented, they are underground, you cannot really tell how many are there in the country. So So for us, the most important thing and our best prize, it is to register foreigners who are in South Africa. Now, through this process, we're interested in their state, but we'll also be able to determine how many years they will come forward. And if people still punt numbers and say there are 3 million, but they must come with evidence to indicate to us these are the people that are in South Africa. Well, the comments will be on the social services, in health and housing, because now we've got these people that they didn't benefit from the social services that we render, based on the international conventions, but also based on the rights that we protect foreigners when they come to your country. So the benefits are there to make sure that at least the department we can say in 2010 these are the people who came forward, in 2014 these are the people who came forward, and we can show the number, and that is number three biometrics, which is a very important benefit to the migration management, because if there's any criminal activities, then we can be able to share with the police and fingerprints that we have taken. Why Zimbabweans, this question has been haunting the department, but I think for us, the most important thing is it's just a mechanism for us to deal with legal migration. It might be Zimbabwe today, tomorrow it might be another country. I think that is a decision that the minister can take based on the pressure of illegal migration and research that will be conducted. But I think we all are aware that the reason why that the Zimbabwean project was just since prior, the 2008 socio-economic problems in Zimbabwe. And then the region, as South Africa within the region, because of our position in the region, we will always have this migratory flows into South Africa because of the economic benefit and the position that the geopolitical position of South Africa. Honorable Premier, yes, we will provide the closer to explain this abbreviations. I think the government officials, we like to use the abbreviations, but I think we take your advice that we should provide the explanations. This issue of delivering people like travel or not within this position, not clearly that them as travel, I think it's from the fact that if they come forward to say we have applied, really the legitimate expectations that I need to be dealt with, even if the expiry date is the 31st of December, the person is still waiting for the outcome. So we are not just close and say we are going to render internal. But I think the comfort we have mentioned is that we are not opening this to everybody. So people who have applied, they will receive our protection. But those that haven't applied, we are going to tell them answer if they are answerable, if they stay here without this document. But if a person has applied, there is that expectation that you need to deal with my application, and then from there, if it's negative, then I can be treated as an unprovoked protest. The reason why we are considering those that we rejected, Honorable King, is that they came forward in 2010, and we don't have a definite answer to say it is because they did not come forward, because they did not have a document. It might be that we made our own administrative inefficiencies in 2010, and as a result, they were disadvantaged. So we just took a decision that let's give the benefit of doubt, let's deal with them as we deal with the work that we approved. And we are very interested, well, also very interested to see whether the number will go down or go up. But I think for us, so that's to give them benefit of doubt, because conclusively, the government cannot say we are 100% in terms of efficiency even to 10. That is why the minister then made his definition that they are also entertaining the application. Honorable students, the numbers that we indicated here of criminal records, we cannot conclusively say these people are arrested and they are in jail. I think you have to ask the same question. But that would be something that we need to work with our police service, including correctional service, to check whether these people that we work with inspectorate, if these people are really in jail or they are arrested or they are still awaiting trial. So it's a separate process that we are dealing with the inspectorate so that we'll be able to determine that at least we God keeps the power to Guatemala records our parents. The appointments, why they are low, that's what Honorable Stein was asking with the sitting province. The Zimbabwean, the union government through telephone calls, and it was a slow intake the first 15 days. But now it's picking up. It's picking up because when it started, everybody wants us to call, and there was a drop in the system, and we can change as many numbers, not as possible, but we have seen that the numbers are going up now because the system is easing the pressure. So we anticipate that by the November we will be able to finish all appointments. And we are really aware. The minister then made a determination that VFS must increase the call center staff. And they have increased their call center staff. I have to check the number up to 70. Yeah, up to 70. So that may Zimbabweans be able to get appointments. So we anticipate that by the middle of November, the appointments will also grow and be able to come forward to apply. So that's something that we are really watching, and we are also concerned that it has to at least be on par. But the latest statistics that we're giving shows that there's also a growing number of them that are taking appointments. Honorable Lacey, I think just as you speak, the first point that Honorable Lacey was asking about what do we mean by take cutting forward and all of those, I think just as you say that. The problem of illegal migration in South Africa, I think it's well documented because of the attractiveness of our economy. So it's something that we are worried about. And the question we're asking is that we are now through the Department of Border Control establishing Border Management Agency. The role of the Border Management Agency, it will be to consolidate all departments that work within the border environment so that there can be one central command within the border environment. And departments can work together to ensure that we deal with the illegal border crossings. And then the other recent development is that the government has taken a decision that the Rapid Defense Force, National Defense Force, must manage the borderline, because the problem is not at the port of itself. The problem is at the borderline. The borderline remains unguarded. The people use informal crossings to come into South Africa. This is why there was a decision taken that we need to deploy the government National Defense Force along the borderline. The other plan that we have is that we must think about basics of all foreigners who come to South Africa so that they can know that we can document you even if you come, whether you come from the port of entry or you come from the borderline. All of these efforts must be done together to make sure that we take fingerprints and can be able to deal with illegal migration. But, Chairperson, the illegal migration in South Africa is the serious problem for us. I think that somebody talked about capacity, because if you have to make sure that you are able to deal with illegal migration, it means the inspectorates or the enforcement of Home Affairs, the numbers must increase. You must be able to deploy those officials in each locality so that they can be visible and people can really understand that we are really dealing with illegal migration. But because of the capacity issues, I think once that issue is addressed, we can make inroads. The will process, Jefferson, the people, the issue of a definite time, we put a definite time on the slide here, Jefferson, on bullet 3, where we are indicating that we want to be able to conclude this by the 3rd of April 2015. If we are able to do that before, let's push for us to be able to do that before that time. But really, we want to make sure that by the new financial year, we have concluded the process. And we are also worried, as the government officials, that the links of 2010, we need to take advantage of those links, because in 2010, it took our 3 years to complete the process. But now, we really want to take a short period of time, let's have automated the process, so that the new financial year, we are done with the project. With regards to Honorable Gomo, the trade agreement, I think Honorable Gomo is correct.
we do have labor agreements with neighboring countries, and those labor agreements date back from the 60s and 70s, where South Africa was using the labor migration for the economy. So those leaderships are still holding us. That is why you have a lot of Basotho nationals, Mozambicans, because those ones who came here during those times. So yes, we are reviewing with the Department of Labor, the labor agreement, to make sure that we bring them in line. There's an interview with the Honorable Kongo. We are going to pay BFS later. They will recoup their money through the handling fee that the Zimbabweans are paying. So that MOU stipulates that the government will not pay them anything that they will. It's a user-paid model that we are using. I think I've tried to deal with the short illegal migration. Honorable Kongo has been not repeated, but just to indicate that this is a serious problem that we have in the country. Where things can go wrong? I think yes, we might, in 2010, we were honorably as government saying to Zimbabweans, we open ours for you if you are here to document yourself so that you can continue to enjoy being in South Africa. Others did come, others continue to commit crime. So from 2010, we were able to see that even if our intentions are clear, other people don't have good intentions by the South Africa. But the system, the way it is, that we do fraud and corruption. Firstly, we have given VFS the people who benefited in 2010, who applied in 2010. And when you log into the application process, you first have to verify that you applied to 2010. That will prevent people that just came from Zimbabwe to also want to benefit from the process. So that is our verification, just to make sure that we can continue with the people that we have opened the dispensation for. Even now, in 2010, what we realized was that those people who were not honorable, we used the Sovereign Police Service to assist us. And even now, we are using the Sovereign Police Service to assist us for people who might have criminal record, that we make sure that we don't give them visas and permits. Internally, I don't really anticipate anything that can go wrong because the process was simplified. We have trained our adjudicators now who are going to adjudicate on the NSSP. So it will really not be a problem for us. The capacity is there inside the department. These are the people who have been working within my environment, so they'll be able to deal with that. The transparency, thank you, Jay, you just applied us on our combat and move on. Chairperson, yes, with regard to roadshows, we realize that, like we did in 2010, we manifest and inaugurated the Zimbabwe Stakeholder Forum, where all Zimbabwean interested parties, we meet with them, we update them. Thus far, we have had 3 meetings with the Zimbabwe Stakeholder Forum to explain the process to them and for them to assist us to spread the weight and also to assist us with the processing of Zimbabweans. We have also planned the roadshows because as we get their phone calls, we realize that what in Zimbabwe, they might not be getting the message in terms of the process. We have planned to have roadshows. We are meeting with AgriSA. They have confirmed 2 meetings with us, one in Limpopo and one in Gauteng province, where we are going to assist with the spreading of the message with regards to the Zimbabwe, to the NSP. We are also planning that we should have town hall meetings where we are able to get the Zimbabweans and then we are able to explain to them. Minister also has a determination that we must also target the hustler, not the big malls like Mandalay in Pretoria, Eastgate, all of this, where we know that most of the Zimbabweans work within the hospitality industry. So we need to target those and there's a plan already to make sure that we are able to do that. The positive criminal record, other people are waiting for a chairperson for them to be reported. But the only thing we can indicate, I think, is that the only authority that can be able to answer this question will be the Sovereign Police Service with our law enforcement, with our inspectorate.
And as I requested, this is a separate process that you should another area within migration, and we can be able to do that working with other law enforcement agencies. Here, I cannot really give a specific response because of my limited exposure in the process of the law enforcement. The copies, with respect to the copies, how we dealt with them. People came, particularly those who surrendered the documents that they had illegally. We said to them, give us anything that we have, so that they go to our system and can be able to cancel those. We canceled other ITs that were going just to get avoid, fortunately. That is why, according to this process, there's always on the top right, there's also a link with HANS, which is the Home Affairs National Identification System. With this process, what we are trying to do, we are trying to make sure that no Zimbabwean who received a fraudulent document must be within the National Population Register. So we are still pursuing that effort to make sure that we are able to cancel the documents that were taken by Zimbabweans through fraudulent means. When we interviewed them, Chairperson, they said they were desperate. They wanted us to be South Africa and to take everything that can legitimize them. That is why when we said we haven't surrendered, they openly came forward, some of them, because really they did not need those documents to be South Africa, because government provided a dispensation for them. And that's why they surrendered those documents. So we continue even now in that process to say, our civic service working with the inspectorate, they will be able to continue cleaning the national population, particularly when people come and leave the application. And we can assure you, Chapter 7, that we have cancelled some of these documents that we have received recently in Pakistan, and we'll continue even now to do that. Thank you, Chair. I appreciate one thing, some issues of emphasis, other things.
Just a second, because he has to explain something. The screen that you removed just before you could go to this one, you want us also again. You're saying you want to issue the permit by the 30th of April 2015, but then the PFS says it wants to receive these applications and biometrics until the 30th of April 2015. How then do you issue a permit on by the 30th of April if VFS still expects to receive this information that they require to actually do this particular? Because surely if you are targeting the 30th of April 2015, then VFS should receive the application and the biometrics some couple of months, if not week, before the state of the internet, for them to be able to process that and produce it. Now, you see the rider question is the department ready to issue the permit as we speak now to those that are compliant and to satisfy all the prescribed requirements? Is the department able to issue the permit? I think that would be the question that would be actually made clear by us. Yeah, if you could just answer that for the
yes, that person, we are saying applications will be done until the 31st of December 2014. That is the application process. The application process starts on the 10th of November. Now, the question that we're asking is critical, and it has been with us, is that how long can we adjudicate close to 244,000 applications? And that's a question that we cannot really answer it, by the 31st of January will be done. But at least the leadership of the department says, we should finish this process by the 30th of April 2018. I see where the Constitution comes in, Chairperson, with regard to that bullet 3. If you have disaggregated the BFS process and the application process. But from BFS side, we are really confident that by the end of November, we will have many applications that are still outstanding from BFS, including supporting documents. So to answer your question directly, Chair, we are ready from the 10th of November to adjudicate and to give those people that apply a counsel. But the question that we cannot really answer definitely is how long will we take to process or to adjudicate? That is why the leadership of the department gave us until the 30th of April to really finish the entire process. I also need to indicate that the effort is to give people outcomes. So those outcomes, we are saying between the 10th of November and the 10th of April, we will be able to give people outcomes. If we are able to conclude the process earlier, then the 30th of April will follow. But really, there's a distinction that we are making. The application is 1st October until 31st December. Walk-ins into the census, it is the 1st of November, and then we'll be able to see how far it goes. Adjudication will also happen. So, Chair, we are really ready from the 10th of November to do adjudication.
Yeah, it looks like it is difficult to really establish when you want to finish. It looks like it is difficult. The leadership wants you to finish by the 30th of April, but in relation to the system that we have to actually make sure that you achieve that, it looks like you are not speaking with authority on that. You are not speaking with authority. You are not really sure. And there is an indication that you are not ready. Because if you are ready, then the system should have been put in place to achieve specific targets or specific dates, and then you should be able to say that we will be done. And this adjudication, the adjudication thing, there is no certainty. You know that you are going to do the adjudication, but you are not certain when are you going to finish that. Because the 10th of April is definitely dependent on the production of that adjudication. If that doesn't happen at the rate that you want, then you can as well just expect that the 10th of April will hear an announcement of the postponement of that date or that's what will have it. And until you put authority on the issue of adjudication, then that will actually make that an update of the 10th of April. And definitely would like to really make that call for the department to really deal with its system, its flow chart, back study, whatever, and see this process going up to the end and determine the kind of production that is required at each and every point so that we are able to achieve to that particular date of the 30th. Otherwise, we're moving in darkness. That 30th is not the date that has been put in there. The system is not, at the moment, is not ready to move towards that, the partnership will help to ensure that they get their house in order and put a date, the last date, which is realistic in terms of what of the capacity of the department as you have now. And the Honorable
Chairperson, thank you. Let's just start off just with the last issue. I think the date of 30th of April, you're right. It is a date which comes at risk because your process, and that's how I may be different a bit, it's not around the business process that we're going to drive. The operations that are set up with DFS, the operations that are set up within the adjudication, the capabilities to manage what we need to manage is defined. The risk comes in around the date, in that as you adjudicate, there's a process of corroboration that needs to be done. So if somebody says, I'm applying late on this particular topic, there will be cases that will need to be referred up to the inspector, there will need to be some kind of corroboration, but that needs to be done. And that to me is where the risk comes in around the date, which is, you know, the 30th of April. But I'm confident that the business processes that we have got behind the front, where we are at the moment, and the numbers which we are processing through our business partner, the EFS at the moment, it speaks for confidence around the process which is going out and the number of applications coming in and how much the Maledi components will be backing up on that process. But let's come back to you with that date as a better example. We take the message away with us that we need to put a date down that we can that we need to stand by. And let us go back and put some more flesh in around that picture of April date. I want to make a few other statements, and I think as Mr. Maledi has really worked consistently through each of the questions which was put there, and I think he's done a good job in terms of answering them. So thank you, Mr. Maledi. But there's a few overall comments that I just want to make in terms of a few issues that have come out in terms of the questions. And I'm not going to go back to each of the specific members if you don't mind. I just like to categorize them back in a few of the way that I'd like to respond at the end. The one is around the cost to the department and the business process that we have applied in terms of adopting this project. The question was put to us to say, how can we say that there's no cost to the department if we still have a role to play in terms of the adjudication and ensuring the end process is seen through with the ZSB? You've got to consider that in appointing a vendor such as EFS, we have taken away a huge infrastructural cost and a huge obligation by the department to sustain a very cost-intensive footprint of refugee reception offices across the country. Also, a cost in terms of maintaining the systems, employing the right people, security, the processes that cover the system. It can be argued that we still need refugee reception centers, and that would be correct, and we have still got refugee reception centers. But historically, what we know from the Zimbabwe process is that the Zimbabwe has clogged up our refugee reception centers, not in terms of valid asylum-seeking applications, but as a result of being a very different type of migrant that came into the country, and that has been an economic migrant. And we need to put a business process that was able to unclog our systems, allow us to introduce business efficiencies in dealing with the genuine asylum-seeker cases that we need to manage, and create a process where people that are in the country for different needs and not just utilizing an asylum seeker channel can be accommodated and can be processed and that they can be regularized into the country. So when you look back at the cost, you've got to look at the cost holistically to what the department is driving and what is the end outcomes that you want to create. And cost is not always about grand sense. Cost comes back down to the business process that we got in, and are we doing things more efficiently? And are we getting better value out of the process that we drive? The back-end process that Mr. Maledi was speaking about is a process that is owned and is mandated by the Department of Education. We can never outsource that to our front-end process. The front-end process is just taking away a lot of infrastructure and obligations and unnecessary time that the department was spending in terms of having to drive a reception office. And that is really where this comes in, is they've accepted that there's a business model to it, and there is a business model to it, otherwise we wouldn't do it. But that business model works for us in terms of being able to leverage capacity within the department focused on the things that is important. So through partnering with DFS, we have never reduced the obligation to do the necessary process and ensure that those applications are legitimate applications. And that's when Mr. Maledi comes in terms of the adjudication process, and when ISECSER comes in terms of conducting ad hoc checks on the applicants to ensure that the applicants are indeed genuine. So, we need to ensure that we have the right controls. We need to recognize that 2010 has taught us some very valuable lessons around the type of applications which the department needs to manage, and how do we segregate those business processes. And I think that's exactly what we're driving through the project. And
that is the integration into Jesus. So we're really born, we come to grow, and we are children in the processes that we guide. And that way, it comes down to cost. Let's not just look at the cost in terms of heredity and space, but let's look at the entire process that you can go back. Part of the process of focusing on often logarithms is in terms of the nature, exactly what I was saying just now, they weren't genuine asylum seekers. They're economic migrants, and they came to the country across our borders, we know, but they're important borders. But we need to know who is in the country. We can't manage what we don't know. And we know that the, what Mr. Menegri referred to as double dipping, that they go from the one thing to come to the next, that they travel through the country and they apply and so they are successful, that they can get recurring permits, and that the process that is too ongoing. And eventually you never stop it. And that's where we came in terms of introducing some of the systems. And it's been a transitional process that we needed to manage. And to your point around the acronyms that we're using, the NIIS, it's the National Integrated Information System. It means that it's a system that works across a database that includes others, but we can do a check on a person in terms of a biometric. Now, staying on the biometric, because there's many other ways in which you can verify that person. But you can change their name, you can change their ethnic birth, you can change numerous things, you can change your appearance. What you can't change is what is actually embedded into you physiologically, and that's your biometric. So when they travel across the country from point to point, by the time they get down to Cape Town and they travel from Durban and they put their finger down on the lips, on the biometrics, it's going to show that there's duplication and the department deals with it accordingly. And by doing that, we actually know then who we have got in the country. That's why we can put the numbers on the table that Mr. Menegri referred them to. The 290,000 that you've got in total that you could use for about 51,000. It comes down to that process, those back-end systems that we've busy mentioned within the department. And that database is there. And by getting the persons to come through in terms of this new permit, the question was put to us, why didn't we just renew the permit again? Because then we're not going to put an end to the process. Then we're going into another 3-year cycle and another 5-year cycle, and it's not going to end it. By creating a new permitting system for the problem, it's clearly in a very particular area in terms of a problem which we have within the country and the way that the persons have entered into our system. And I don't want them to think that people don't want to regularize themselves. They want to. Remember, if you can't regularize, you can only, physically you may be done, like trying to get access to services, trying to get access to employment, and you start to, your problem starts to confound. So, persons who have applied to come into this country want to be able to have an enabling document, and they want to be able to not be evasive in terms of our security components. Of course, there are the others that do want to do that. But generally, in the majority, you have got those people that you need that in any document, and they will support them. They'll come to the process. You can see about numbers which have come to you since you started the VFS process. So the point comes down to us being able to know who's in the country and the legal status and how they can be managed. I want to talk a little bit around the migration trends. It's something which the minister is very taken up with at the moment. We know that South Africa is a very attractive point in terms of transitioning people from the forest in northern Africa down to the south. And he has recently introduced a round table series where we are engaging with academics, we're engaging with the legalese, we're engaging with some of the academia, people within the migration networks, to get ideas around the things that we can do in terms of managing some of these processes better. And I also just wanted to mention that in terms of us saying, how do we go and how do we make ourselves more effective in what we grab out? One of the points, and it came back to another point around law enforcement, just now I'm going to wrap up now, Jim, is we can't just look at the applicants in terms of being the problem. We've got to look back at what makes South Africa attractive in terms of the source of destination, or destination of choice, if you rather put it that way. And we need to look back at the employment sectors that will take these people, they will exploit them, and they will utilize them as cheap labor, because it is easy to do, and it is pretty event that you find. We need to look at that process. We need to look at the business component. We need to look at how we are going to shut down on the source of the chapters and where that comes from. And that's part of the process of what you're reading. Not specifically back to ZSP, but back in terms of the broader migration trend that we have. Chair, if I can stop there, I think Mr. Levy has answered most of the questions in detail. I need to add a few of the encompassing remarks. What goes beyond the agenda, what falls into the broader part of the government's immigration. Thank you.
Okay, now thank you very much. Is there any follow-up or question? But honorable members, we have less than 15 minutes now. Honorable former and honorable McCain, on that one.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks for those responses. I just wanted to ask a very simple question, which probably most of our constituencies have asked us, and I think it would be ideal if one could get an impression of how much of that question is going to be answered through the roadshows and everything else that will be going forth to inform our constituencies on matters about this documentation and these beautiful programs. And that is the issue of the reporting of undesirable and probably foreign nationals and even South African nationals who may be involved in any of the issues that are on page or on this page here, that has got all those statistics and some of those crimes. Where can people go? Is there a coordinated effort between Home Affairs, between the SAPS and any other force to actually ensure that people really do have, I think we call them hotlines or something of that sort? Maybe coming from here in the Western Cape, it's less hectic than somebody were to ask me or to ask themselves. If somebody is coming from Buguletu or Nyanga or any of the other places here, where can one actually report undesirable people? Especially from the foreign nationals, noting that a lot of them, we do have them also South Africa, but the foreign nationals, you do find some of them are dealing in drugs, human trafficking, and a lot of those high profile type of crimes that are causing problems in our country. Especially what system have we got in mind? I'm aware that we've done some before, but how is that going to be carried forth as part of the rules? Thanks.
I just need to ask if I can be excused. There's a meeting I need to be with at the minister. I should have been there, but I said, can I leave you with this minute?
Okay,
no,
please.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just going to come back to the point of issuing the permit itself. And it's interesting that you didn't get a commitment to the time and then the change type of issues were not as you saw them coming to the time. Now, in terms of the VFS, they're committing to a time of 8 weeks turnaround. I'm not sure if you know about it. It's on the website. In the time of the interview, they promised to keep the permit for 8 weeks. So they're making the promise on your behalf. Are you then able to meet that deadline? And then, in line with the same question, why, I'm trying to understand why didn't we have stopped the adjudication process already? And in 2010, it took this month in 3 years, there's still a number of people who haven't received a regional permit. So it's taken much more than 3 years. And now you're going to reissue permits again. And nothing has said so far gives me, and I'm not sure about the others, any satisfaction that you are actually going to be able to issue all of these 291,000 permits in a matter of weeks and months. Based on the history of the Republic, in your own capability, because I think the adjudication process on this thing is, well, to us, it's been done internally, and it didn't cost you anything, so you didn't have to employ more people. So you're still dealing with the same number of people in terms of adjudicating it. And I'm not sure that you're going to finish this thing in time. This is going to take more than 3 years. Then, what happens to those people whose application turned down? I see there's no appeal process for them to appeal it, which is another question. Why is there the option for people to appeal if the Republic turns down their application? And what then must happen to them? Must they now leave the country or are you going to support them? Thank you.
how we need to join this, and through that, then you cancel that, and we are ready in the hands of the decision team. And in that, if there are any possibility of that happening, and if it has happened, the people that have completed that their ideas have been cancelled, that we know the impact. That are human citizens, but who claim that when they go and use the ID, they find that this ID is the cancer. And if that is the case, how have you, or how is the department going to handle that situation? Of course, I know of somebody else who has tried to complain that he can't use the ID. It is clear that that ID is no longer, you know, his functionality. And has been going up and down trying to get the ID to be reactivated as a government, not even one big problem. So I'm just asking whether through the particular exercise, of course, he has been part to actually get rid of project ID, but then there's a potential of this one other aspect. I think that's just after those two questions.
Thank you, Chair.
Let me start with your question, Chairperson.
Home Affairs, on a continuous basis, we do investigations because we're interested in combating identity fraud. We do consider if we pick up our inspectorates, foreigners who have access to our IDs in a project activities. In that process, it's put your person that governs South Africans can be affected. That is why we had a phenomenon of duplicate IDs. We find that a foreigner claims to own this ID number, but that ID number is of a South African citizen. And when we do, when we discover that, we send that through the process, we are able to genuinely look into the one that got it through the right channel. And the one that is not in the right channel, we can send it. And it will just then cost for us to understand. To be able to deal with that. This phenomenon, I think, it was very prevalent 10 years back. As of now, because of the automation of the IT process, it is well limited. And even now, the leaders made a determination that they took the moment to duplicate IDs. That's why we had a campaign going on to say to people, if you have a problem with your IT, and if you have a duplicate IT, let us deal with it so that we can be able to finish this process of duplicate IDs. It's true that foreigners then explain that process and are able to try to get our IDs, but Chairperson, right, we are able to cancel them and are able to do the investigation. So it is possible that we cancel them and cancel them on a monetary basis. There's also a process of appealing the national population. So that process also assists us to be able to determine genus of Africans who must have IDs and those that are not supposed to get the IDs. So that's something that continuously we are doing. But for us to prevent this, Home Affairs is a process of automating. That's why there's a modernization project within Home Affairs. That's why we've got a smart ID. The intention is to make sure that through automation we are able to eliminate these fraudulent IDs. There's also now a drive to make sure that we take our risks of foreigners, because in our country we do the current biometrics of some of the fingerprints. But we have to move to the next level, and we are able to take biometrics of every foreigner, so that we can be able to have the national identification system that will have foreigners and that will have South Africans and the cross reference if it's a foreigner who will claim identity South Africa and be able to claim that. So that is why at the end of the day, the objective, the final objective of the modernization project, that is why the smart card ID. And the process of smart card ID is different from the manual process of the green identity document. It's really just to make sure that as we move forward, we have a credible national population system. Honorable Hussein, the 8 weeks, it is Home Affairs published turnaround time. It's in our strategic plan. That's why we inform VFS that our turnaround time is 8 weeks. So if people apply for visas, and for visas, we should take 8 weeks to be able to adjudicate. permanent resident is not part of the Zimbabwean project, is 8 months. So this is what we came to the publish that. Whether we'll be able to adjudicate the visas within 8 weeks, I'm confident, Honorable said, that we'll be able to adjudicate within 8 weeks. More so that the visa, the NSP is not a complex process. We're making it easy because, firstly, we know the population we're dealing with. Secondly, there's an automated process. Because in the past, what was really delaying us to make determination of people who apply, it was a manual process. Now, the automated process at least gives us a certainty that we can be able to deal with applications on time. Even now, with the main visas and permits, people who apply in October now, they're able to get their visas and permits because the process is automated. So, even if, as the chairperson, you are saying, the way that our application, we don't have confidence in authority. We do have confidence in authority because there are people that represent who are we going to deal with the industry. There's an automated process that is in place because we are not getting this application of ZSP manually. We'll get them to the application system that our team is able to develop. And as a result, documents will be on time, you will come and we'll be able to deal with them. I can give an example. When we tested the system, I said to the other, give us Zimbabweans. As I said, if I have Zimbabweans, they must go through the system. So we test with the real data that need to come. And we tested it, we're able to get the applications of these five Zimbabweans and the Zimbabwean environment. So what the intention was to make sure that we can test the entire value chain and see whether come November we'll be able to adjudicate. And it is the process that shows that HEP is able to give us the document, police are able to give us the issues, are able to give us the result of the fingerprint certificate, and also the system can talk to hands. So from system point of view, from technical point of view, we have tested the system and we're confident the system will work. So we are really confident that we'll be able to deal with the turnaround times very, very quickly because the system is very quick. The those that we tender, why there's no process of appeal? I think the context is that these are relaxed requirements. So if you cannot meet the relaxed requirements, because we have waived so many requirements within the industry. So these are just bare minimum requirements that we assume that every Zimbabwean who has interest to continue to stay in South Africa can be able to meet those requirements. There was not a lot of the requirements that we are asking. So if people are able to satisfy those requirements, like if the person is there because you police the record, that person will be rejected and be deported. Because as a country, we cannot have and give permits to people who are processing criminal records. So if your person is just here and cannot confirm that he's employed, why is this person in South Africa? This person must be rejected, and why should they be appealed? Because already there are easy requirements that were put in place. So in a country, it is just to show that our benevolence must not be interpreted this way, free for all. So we'll be able to say, if you can't meet this requirement, why should we be able to deal with you about the immigration? Because here, the minister has relaxed the requirement. And we assume that everybody must meet this requirement because it has become very minimal requirements. The last question, Chairperson, on the roadshows. I think our objective of the roadshows, it is to meet with Zimbabweans, not the broader of the public. It is to meet with Zimbabweans, explain to them the process, and they can be able to understand the process. But on the broader question of whether, when we deal with illegal migration, we work with other enforcement agencies, yes, we do. Home Affairs participates in the joint, which is comprised mainly by the police, the intelligence, the defense. So there's also provincial joint, there are local joint, where there's collaboration between the law enforcement agencies. It is so, more so that as Home Affairs, we sit, we are part of the security cluster. So from the top level until on the ground, there's collaboration between Home Affairs and other law enforcement agencies. So if the police on the ground, they come across illegal foreigners, That is the role that Home Affairs need to play to make sure that those in love for them are dealt with according to the Immigration Act. So even in the local level, there is that joint collaboration. This is not just to our respective migration desk, where they collaborate with us and other national departments to make sure that in their own environment, we're able to assist with whether it's refugees or people who get visas and permits. So there's that collaboration that we have with other local law enforcement agencies. And the police are the point of reference that people can report to, and the police will report those to us and be able to deal with them according to the Immigration Act.
Thank you very much. Just then and watch out for last minute rush of the budget. I'm sure you can see that the 31st of December we are left with roughly 1.5 months. And you have not yet reached the half of what you are expecting. 129,000 out of 297,000. You have not yet decided the possibility of the last minute rush and probably to find that the system gets across. And I think this question should be watchful for that. I think, honorable members, I think we don't need to appreciate the update by the margins on this project. It looks like now that they are rising at exponential terms. And also then to really help the department to accelerate the issuing of these payments as soon as the applicants comply with whatever is required. And also, of course, to note the capacity of this dispensation, you know, to impact on criminality. I think this particular station is doing quite a good job in rooting out that. And also urge the department to attend promptly to any unintended consequences that may arise during the implementation of the specific dispensation. And of course, urge the department to continuously clean our operations register as and when they pick up any illegal citizenship that has been acquired. There must be a process of cleaning out of the children. And I think on that floor, I remember, we can thank the citizens and the department. And the adjudication is on the critical path. The adjudication is on the critical path. And any weakness on that record has a very, very huge impact on the outcomes of the plan. And then the department should really make sure that that section that deals with that activity is seriously capacitated to be able to do the work that we expect them to do. And I think we thank you.